You're listening to the Refined Hippie Podcast, a show all about holistic lifestyle, nutrition, and plant-based veganism for a mind-body-spirit approach to living healthfully and happily for ourselves and our planet. Welcome to the show, my lovely friend. I am so happy that you're joining me here today. I have taken a little bit of a break from the podcast, mainly because I was just feeling a little bit of those seasonal affective blues and not feeling like I wanted to show up here. But spring is on the horizon and I just got back from a vacay and I'm feeling way more invigorated. The weather is beautiful. It's 70 something degrees and I feel as though I'm finally coming out of my shell, and I'm so happy to be here today. And I'm happy to be sharing this episode with my good friend, Kathy Davis, who has been on the show before. And she is such an inspiration for those who are trying to take hold of their life and be more plant-based, be completely plant-based, be vegan, whatever, all the things. She is a plant-based lifestyle and mindset coach. And we are going to talk about all things meal planning. She is a meal planning expert and the CEO of Veg Inspired. She's also the author of 3 cookbooks, as well as co-author of 1 personal development book, Absolute Vision. Kathy is on a mission to educate, inspire, and empower others about the power of plant-based eating in living thriving and successful lives. She operates on 2 primary mottos. 1, eat more plants, and 2, intention over perfection. On this episode, we get into all things plant-based meal planning. We chat about her life living in an RV, as well as national parks, traveling with cats, meal planning in an RV, as well as, of course, just meal planning. We discuss the challenges when changing one's lifestyle, meal planning versus meal prepping, inspiration list, common myths of being plant-based, and so much more. So without further ado, here is my chat with the inspiring Kathy Davis. Hello, Kathy. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Rebecca. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I know. Have you again? I'm like, this is such a treat. I was looking back at when you were here. I guess it was like over a year ago, maybe, or yeah.
I think so. Over a year ago.
Yeah. And honestly, in a way, it feels longer. I don't know what has happened in that year, but a lot, I guess.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. It's been a good year though. A good year.
It has been a really good year. It has. And I have really great feelings about 2024. I don't know why. It's just, I don't know. A lot of the people that I've talked to were like, yeah, it's just like something in the air. I don't know. Like January 1st came and I was like, I just have a feeling about this year. It's going to be awesome.
Me too.
Yeah. Good. I think after like three years of insanity, it has to kind of normalize at some point, right?
I would agree.
Hopefully.
This is the year.
Hallelujah. So for those that don't know, you live in an RV with your husband and 2 kitties, fresh new little baby, little youngster. Where are y'all right now?
We are in Tombstone, Arizona, which is outside of Tucson. And for those of you listening, if you've seen the movie Tombstone, that's it. Wyatt Earp right here. Went to a little theatrical performance on Sunday in town where they used blanks and pretended they were shooting each other up. It was quite theatrical. But I always tell people I'm a Hallmark lover. So when we watched Tombstone a couple weeks ago before we came here, I'm like, ooh, that was violent. So if you're watching and you're like, or listening and you're thinking, I might watch that Tombstone, that sounds interesting, just be wary. It's a lot of shoot 'em up. A lot of shoot 'em up in the 1800s.
Yeah. Which I guess that's what it was like. I don't know. It sounds terrible, but yeah. Most of those kind of, would you even call that a Western, I guess? Is that considered a Western? I don't know.
I guess so.
Maybe, Western, I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. There was a lot of gun violence. So Yeah. I think I've seen, or maybe I've just seen clips of that movie. I don't know if I've seen the actual movie. But I'm definitely a more chill kind of vibe girl. I would take a Hallmark film over that any day. It used to not bother me as much, but the violent stuff, it definitely affects me more these days. I don't know why.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
So, but that's where we are, Arizona.
Are y'all going to be in Arizona for a while, or how do y'all decide like how long you stay somewhere?
You know, I like to believe that the wind blows us, but we plan pretty much 6 to 8 months in advance. We will actually only be here for a couple more days, and then we're making the trek to Texas, southwestern Texas, to Big Bend National Park. National Park. We are national park junkies. We like to visit the national parks and do the hikes. And we're headed back to Big Bend. This will be our second visit in the last 2 years. We really like it.
Yeah, because y'all have been to how many national parks? Like 22 or something?
We added it up. We're at 33.
33. Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, we're at 27. We'll be at 33 by September of 2024.
Wow. So how many national parks are there? I don't even know.
There are 63 national parks, but over 400 locations that are part of the National Park Service. Monuments, historic marks, national seashores. The Great Lakes have national lake shores.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Are y'all trying to do all those as well?
Well, we're not as big of history buff.
Okay.
So a lot of the historical ones, we don't love those. We're more of we really like the nature and the beauty and the unique parts of the country. But the lake, as I was saying, the Great Lakes have national seashores or national lake shores. Those are very unique and very interesting. And there's a lot of national monuments. And I don't know the exact distinguishing checklist factors that make it from the difference between a national park and a national monument. But many of the national monuments are also very beautiful. Colorado National Monument was gorgeous, great hikes there. We went to Chiricahua National Monument down here in eastern Arizona. That was incredibly beautiful, beautiful rock formations, very unique. So it really comes down to, for us, more of that nature vibe versus the historical old battlefields and things of that nature.
Yeah, just an open field of where something happened.
More violence happened, likely.
Very violent, obviously. Yeah, for sure. Lots of death. Do you have a favorite or top favorite national park?
I always said Glacier was my national park favorite, and that's in Montana. Last summer we visited Acadia National Park, and that is also very high up there. I really enjoy the national parks where I feel like we can do something. Acadia felt very, very accessible. The hikes, wouldn't say that the hikes were easier than Glacier, but we were able to find parking. Glacier is a very, very busy national park. Timed entry, all of that. It's beautiful. It's expansive. It's so vast. The views from the Going to the Sun Road, which is only open a few months out of the year due to their climate and the weather and snow and ice, it makes it a very busy park. And you can do a lot of different things and mitigate that busyness by using the shuttles and doing more hiking. We just felt that Acadia was very accessible, and it's a pretty busy park too. Also has a limited season.
What is
due
season?
To weather?
Is it like a summer season or spring or something? Or
I would say they're probably spring to fall, because Acadia is likely very beautiful in the fall when the leaves start to change. It's all just weather dependent. I know that there's people who do ice and snow hiking, so that's just not me. I'm a flip-flop girl. So
same here. You and I are the same. Warm weather. If it's below 70, I'm like, what is happening? This is terrible.
Exactly. So we tend to follow the climate. Yeah. But as you can see, both of the two parks that I mentioned are in those northern climates where the seasons are shorter for flip-flop people like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds right up my alley. I have never been to either, but I would love to go for sure. I'll try to keep that on my list. I haven't actually been. I've been to a lot of the United States, except for Montana and Utah. I haven't been to North Dakota or South Dakota. But yeah, it's like a whole different, so different than the rest of the United States.
Definitely. And North Dakota and South Dakota have what they call the Badlands, which are very unique formations as well, both in Teddy Roosevelt National Park, which is in North Dakota, as well as in Badlands National Park, which is in South Dakota. And we visited the Badlands in June and actually found that to be a very enjoyable park. Again, lots of accessible hikes, fun, unique. There was one with a ladder that you climb up, and when you get to the end of the hike, it's this huge opening that you can see out over the, I'm going to say prairie for lack of a better way to describe it, but it's just, it's very beautiful. It's very unique. And it's, that was fun too.
That sounds really fun. That's awesome. So you travel in an RV, which I think sounds very foreign to a lot of us, although it sounds amazing and is definitely kind of I would say a bucket list. My husband and I have interchanged the idea. Originally, it was like, what do we do about the cats? But obviously, you figured it out. So it's not that difficult.
They just come along for the ride.
And they like it, right? They're like, wee. Do y'all have little harnesses for them or anything? Or they just hang out in the RV?
So Eddie, who's our 10-year-old tuxedo cat, is afraid of people. He will go outside. We had a campsite in August in Utah. It was just us at the campground. Wow. We were backed in. There was one or two other campers would come every few nights, but it was very hot in the hundreds. We had protection on all the windows to try and keep some of the cool air conditioning in. But because there was no people, he loved going out on his harness. He would stand at the door and cry. But as soon as, you know, more people started to come, or we moved to the next campsite and there's people, he's very scared. Archie, our new little baby, just 5 months old, we are planning to leash train him. And I actually would like to get him a backpack and take him on some of the hikes where cats are, or pets are allowed.
Yes, that's my dream. There's so many people who on YouTube or Instagram or whatever who carry their cats everywhere. And I'm like, I want that so bad. But you have to start it small. You have to start them young. You can't expect to get them on a, you know, it's just not going to happen.
Well, they don't love the leash, right? It's very constricting. Yeah. And they can also be prone to that skittishness with noises.
Yeah.
If they're not exposed to that. Yeah. In an RV park, you have, you know, the big diesel trucks, the big RV engines. There's a lot more noises that they can get accustomed to. And so just getting them outside and exposing them to noises, exposing them to people walking by, we didn't get to do that with Eddie. I mean, we started RVing with him. He was already five. So he's still very afraid. He'll climb right up the screen door to get in.
Oh, yeah. I was literally talking about this with somebody the other day, because I was talking about it with, like, you know, with dogs, people automatically are carrying their puppy everywhere. So of course they get accustomed to people and loud noises. They take them out to brunch, you know, they're sitting by the sidewalk. But if you had a dog and you never took them out for 5 years of their life and they stayed inside, they would be terrified.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Or they would misbehave. They wouldn't know how to behave. They wouldn't know how to act. They might be, you know, bark or aggressive toward other dogs. I mean, you just don't know if they're not socialized. So that's where we are with our second little baby. We're trying to socialize him so that he can come on adventures.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see those videos and those pictures of him in his little backpack. He's going to look so cute.
For sure.
So yeah, so living in an RV, obviously we're going to talk about plant-based things and plant-based meal planning. Meal planning in an RV, is that any different, do you think, or more difficult than meal planning in a house?
Well, for those of you listening, when you walk into your grocery store this weekend, I want you to just pause for just a moment and be grateful that it's the same grocery store that you've walked in for the last few weeks. The craziest thing about RV living is we go to a different grocery store monthly, weekly, however frequently we move or change locations, and they're never set up the same. So one of the reasons why we meal plan specifically in the RV is because it allows us to take this bird's eye view of the foods we want to buy, knowing, oh, you know what? This grocery store is kind of small. It may not have whole wheat pasta. We should do a pasta order. Or this grocery store is pretty small. We should pop into Amazon and order the tahini that we want, or then get our nutritional yeast from our nutritional yeast company. It allows us to plan ahead for those smaller places and then supplement with what the grocery stores, what the local grocery stores do have, supporting them as well. Because as we come into the area, we bring, you know, tourism dollars to all the areas that we stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting about the grocery stores all being different. My mom was talking about this the other day because she'll go to Trader Joe's in my town. She doesn't have a Trader Joe's in her town. So she'll go to the Trader Joe's here or where my brother is. And she's like, it took me, you know, she knows mine better or his brother. I can't remember which one, but then it took her twice as long. Cause like, I don't know where anything is. Why can't you just set it all up the same? I don't know.
It's crazy. And as whole food, right? I'm a whole food plant-based vegan. So I don't tend to look in for the vegan food necessarily. I'm looking for the whole foods, but I end up having to go through every aisle because the ground flax might be in a different aisle in this grocery store than it is in the other grocery store. Or it might be in one grocery store we went to, it was in the refrigerated section.
What? The flax was?
The ground flax already in the refrigerated section for you. I'm like, you don't have to refrigerate it till it's open.
Open. Yeah.
It's just funny.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That would be frustrating. Y'all are on the ultimate adventure. So not just grocery shopping, it's everything you do, obviously. But in meal planning is an adventure for a lot of people. And I think, you know, when they go whole food plant-based, it can be very daunting for most of us. I think whenever you change any type of lifestyle change, it can be scary. And this is why I think meal planning can be so helpful. You know, what are some of the challenges that you think that people go through, you know, when they're trying to change their lifestyle?
Wow. One of the biggest challenges I think people go through when they're trying to change their lifestyle is that they still identify as a non-plant-based eater. In their inside, like, they're still thinking maybe they'll just try plant-based. And so they never give themselves full permission to fully step into a plant-based lifestyle. And what I've found specifically with meal planning is the way that I teach meal planning is I have you put your goal right on top of your meal plan. If eating plant-based or going plant-based or eating more plants or eating 30 plants a week or whatever your goal is, going vegan, eating meatless Monday, whatever it is, put the goal on the top of your meal plan. And then every meal that you put on that meal plan runs through that goal. Does this meal support my goal? And when you're that conscious and intentional with your planning, it's easier to stick with the decisions that you made when you wrote the plan, because you're not standing in front of the kitchen wondering what's for dinner, hungry, picking off of your, you know, your children's whatever plate. You're like, oh, it's Taco Tuesday. I know exactly what I'm going to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's the difference between meal planning and meal prepping?
The way that we teach meal planning in our Meal Plan Accountability Club and through the Veg Inspired programs is meal planning is that bird's eye view. It's that glimpse into what foods are you going to make and when. Whereas prepping is, and this is my interpretation, I am going to make an entire thing of black beans, an entire thing of sweet potatoes, and an entire sheet pan of roasted vegetables. And because those are all prepped, I'm actually going to container them into their own separate containers so that my meal is a heat and eat. That's my interpretation. And I always say meal plan over meal prep, because your plan allows you to get this bird's eye view. And another nuance to the way that we plan is we plan in accordance with your calendar. So your plan might have elements of some ingredient or meal preparation in it. For example, I coach on Tuesday nights. So Mondays, I always make sure that whatever I make for dinner Monday night, there's some elements and pieces of that that are left over that can be used for Tuesday night's dinner, so that I'm not going into the kitchen and trying to make dinner before I coach, which I coach on East Coast times. And I told all of you at the beginning of this episode that I'm in Arizona, which is mountain time. And so that's at 6 p.m. So it's right at dinner time when I'm going into coach. And so knowing that, being able to look at my calendar when I'm plugging in these meals allows me to set myself up for success, rather than, oh, I have tacos for tonight, but I don't have time to make tacos, so let's run to Chipotle, or let's just eat a, you know, frozen box pizza, which is fine if that's what you have on your meal plan. But if it's just, if you have a goal to eat home cooked meals, and now all of a sudden you're running Chipotle every Tuesday because it's taco day, and you don't have time to make the food, it really takes it from just writing tacos on Tuesday to looking at your schedule and saying, I have enough time to make this meal. I'm going to make this meal this day because I have enough time to make it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's key. I think so many people are just running around all day, you know, last minute. And this is why they end up making choices that are not in their best interest, whether that be, you know, and every now and then, obviously, you can have these days. It's not like, you know, it's not perfection here, right?
Exactly. And I think too, Rebecca, it comes down to, we make decisions all day. So here we are standing in the kitchen, 5 o'clock, all these hungry bodies around us begging us for something to eat. And we have to now decide what we're in the mood to cook. But if we painted the picture of, you get home from work, everybody's doing what they're doing, still hungry, but you glance up and you look at your meal plan and you know that the meal you're going to make hits three things. One, it meets your goal, which means you're going to eat the way that you want to eat. Two, it fits into the time that's allotted. And three, you actually want to cook it, right? Because that's the third piece of our meal planning that's different than most people, or most ways that meal planning's taught, is that you actually want to eat and cook the meals that you make. Like, you're excited. I always say, when you look at your meal plan and you do a dance, or you get those excitement butterflies, or like the energy pops up into your body because you're so excited to eat it, that's a successful meal plan, because you want to cook it even after a long day.
Yeah. And that's how it should be. You know, to have that health, that is a healthy relationship to food. If you're sitting down with your meal and you're like, oh gosh, I don't want to have to eat this, but I'm going to, and because I have to eat something or whatever, you know, that's going to have a terrible outcome for a lot of different reasons.
You know, I think we hear a lot about, oh, you should eat this and you should eat that. And so then we make our meal plans around all these shoulds. But what if it was more about, okay, I want to eat more whole grains. What are my favorite whole grains to cook? Oh, I love tacos made with bulgur if you eat gluten, or millet or sorghum if you don't eat gluten. Okay, well, that's going to be my favorite meal that I'm excited to cook this week. Or I love anything with avocado. So what can I make this week that has avocados in it? Ooh, a burrito bowl with brown rice and black beans and avocado and store-bought salsa. I can whip that up really fast, throw in a couple handfuls of lettuce or cabbage or spinach, and I have a full, balanced, colorful meal. I think we get so caught up in what we should eat that we don't zoom out enough and say, but what do I want to eat? Like, what are the foods that I'm excited to eat that still fit my goal?
Yeah, I think that's looking through, you know, kind of this like diet culture, right? Versus like a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's been kind of ingrained in us for decades or a century. I don't know, dieting. They've had ads for that and how you should eat this and don't eat that. And then it just gets so confusing and overwhelming. And yeah, I love that, being just incorporating certain things. It's like, for me, I love lentils or legumes. So it's like, how can I eat more of those that it's not just a Buddha bowl? I can make them into a yummy burger, you know, do lentils and mushrooms or whatever, and make a nice plant-based mm-hmm. burger. And then that's more exciting. change it up a little, you know?
Lentil tacos, lentil soup. You can do, they even have recipes now where you can take red lentils and make them into flatbreads or tortillas.
I saw that. I know.
That's so cool.
I've done a pizza with them before. I haven't done the flatbread, but I should try that. I've done pizza. It was good. I need to perfect it. It's one of those like learning curve things. So don't give up. If you've done it once and it didn't turn out, try it again.
Definitely.
Because it is a little bit harder than just, you know, getting a store-bought pizza and putting it in the oven. That's really easy.
Right. Definitely.
So what do you think you're like the biggest when it comes to meal planning? Like, what is the biggest, what's the, how does even somebody just go about, you just like are writing down like what you want to eat, or how do you even go about doing meal planning?
Definitely. So I have a four step framework, and it starts with having an inspiration list. And I always teach this part first, because this is the misconception that I find most people have about meal planning. And so if you're listening, stay with me, because you've likely felt this or done this, and you can breathe a sigh of relief when we're done. You hear me say meal planning and you're immediately like, okay, I'm going to get, and I'm moving, right? You can, those of you who are listening, but I'm like getting myself all set up. You get your kitchen counter, you clear everything off, you quiet all the people, you put them where they need to be, the children doing their things, the pets doing their things, the spouse doing their thing. And you're here and you've got your meal plan. Maybe you print out the template that I'm going to give you all as a gift today. And then you go and get all of your cookbooks and you sit down and you grab that first cookbook that you're so excited, and you open it up and you move to the first recipe and it's breakfast. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I've got all my breakfast ideas. I don't need another breakfast idea, but you're so captivated by the pictures or by the recipes that you just keep going one page at a time. And the next thing you know, you've been sitting there for 4 hours. You're only to the salad section of the cookbook and you've written nothing down, and you want to throw your hands up and be like, meal planning doesn't work. So we're going to take it a step back. That perusing through the cookbook, that can happen anywhere, anytime, except when you're sitting down to meal plan. You can look through that cookbook and put sticky notes. You can take that cookbook to the park. You can take that cookbook to the carpool line. You can take that cookbook to the doctor's office and sit in the waiting room and look. Gathering inspiration, gathering ideas. If you do have a goal to eat more lentils, maybe you flip to the back of the book and look for lentil recipes instead of starting at the beginning and going through breakfast, because don't all cookbooks start with breakfast? And most of us aren't meal planning our breakfasts. We're meal planning our dinners. So we teach you to gather your inspiration through life. You are looking at your cookbooks. You're going through Instagram. You're on social media. You get a newsletter from your favorite plant-based person. You get an idea. You jot it down in the ideas section on your meal plan. Then you separate those two activities. Gathering inspiration is its own part of living. It's just part of life. Maybe you see a billboard for a burger and you're like, ooh, I want to make lentil burgers this week. That goes on your idea list. And for some of you, you might be really technical and you want to just voice memo yourself an idea for your idea list. Others might be like me and want to carry a notebook in their purse that just writes it down. And others have great memories like my husband, and you just remember your inspirations. I don't know. It's not a one size fits all. That's part one. Part two is carrying out, is preparing the plan. And that's where you do actually sit down in a quiet environment, uninterrupted, with that idea list, with your template, and with your calendar. And you look at your week ahead and you say, oh, I have brunch with the girls on Saturday morning. Let me make sure that I've prepped something for my family. Oh, I have, you know, a staff meeting until 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Let me put in a slow cooker meal earlier that day. Let me make a casserole over the weekend that my teenage child could put in the oven at 5 o'clock so that it's ready when I get home, right? You're looking at those places on your calendar where you'll be crunched for time. Then you plug in everything else. Maybe you eat oatmeal for breakfast every day and you eat leftovers for lunch every day. And so all you have to do is plan a dinner for the family every night, or for yourself every night, and then leftovers the next day. You figure out what is necessary for you, and then you plug it in with those ideas and inspirations that you actually want to make. And this is where I think people get, this is where we lose the power of a meal plan when we buy a meal plan from someone that we don't have this connection to, right? We don't if I were to buy a meal plan and it was all eggplant, I don't like eggplants. I didn't like beans when I first went vegan. So if it was all bean dishes, I would have really struggled. I think meal plans definitely have a place and you can use those as an amazing resource, but it does take that 15 to 20 minutes of rearranging things and making sure that you have the time to cook the 40-minute make your own burgers at home recipe on a weekday, because not everybody has that time. And so setting aside a little bit of time to review those plans that we purchase, to put them into our own calendar, to make sure that the meals align with our goals and our family's food preferences, it helps to kind of solidify this plan, just like entering an address into your GPS. It gives you the roadmap and the turns so that you aren't stuck at an intersection at 5 o'clock wondering what to cook for dinner. You're not, just like you're not stuck at an intersection wondering which way to turn.
Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. I know so many people that do the whole, the recipe, the cookbook thing. And then they get so, and I am guilty of it. I love cookbooks. I have a thing for cookbooks. Have I made even 10% of the thing in those cookbooks? No, I haven't. But and sometimes it's good to look through and try to get inspiration. You know, I mean, I think that's probably the most useful thing I've gotten out of my cookbooks is just being inspired if there is a burger or whatnot. I mean, which those are the things. I made one last week and it was planned because it did take a lot of time, and that's not something I'm going to make every night because that is way more involved.
Definitely. And that's the thing, like, and it might be that you really want a burger, right? You want the big burger on the whole grain buns with your tofu mayo and your lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, what if you use vegan cheese or whatever. And then you look at 5 burger recipes and there's one that's 30 minutes. And then there's another one that I would classify as super complex that has, you know, you're sauteing all these things and then buzzing them through the food processor, and then you're patting them up, and then maybe they have to rest for an hour. I mean, some recipes have you do different things. And so if you really want that burger, but you only have an hour, maybe you lean towards the 30-minute one, or you look and you say, but I've got all this time on Sunday. Could I make these burgers on Sunday and eat them a few times during the week? It allows you to look at your calendar and build in what you actually have time to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's so important. And then people don't throw up their hands and give up being plant-based vegan.
Exactly.
Because it is a learning curve. I mean, there is a learning curve of changing, you know, well, upholding everything that you thought you knew, basically.
Definitely. Definitely. And it's empowering to look at your meal plan and be like, I know what I'm cooking for dinner. I'm excited about this meal. My family is excited about this meal. If you've got, you know, children that you can give a say, maybe they look through a cookbook and point out a couple recipes, or you look at, especially if you're transitioning to plant-based eating, you plan in more of those familiar meals. So if your family loves sweet potatoes, you go to the back of the book and you look for those sweet potato recipes. If your family enjoys chickpeas, you go and you look for more chickpea recipes, and it allows you to look at that zoomed out and say, oh, well, if I make chickpeas, I could make a big batch. I could cook all my own chickpeas for the 3 recipes I have this week. So it really allows you to like plan ahead and do carry out the plan in a very different way than maybe you're used to, right? Cooking your own beans, again, aligning with your own goals too, which would be step 3 is the carrying out in the framework. The carrying out of the plan is putting it into action, looking at your meal plan, making those foods. And then step 4 in the framework is reflecting and refining, and then putting it on repeat. So what of these meals are we going to keep making? What are these meals going to come up in future meal plans? Which of these meals are we going to nix and say that didn't work for me? That's what the 4th part of that is. And a lot of people skip the reflection. And so they never close the gap in where it might not work. So if they say, oh, I did every Wednesday, I seem to fall off my meal plan and we get takeout. Okay, well, what if we did a switch, and what if we made Wednesday this super like family favorite recipe that we actually ate as a leftover, so that we're not always drawn to takeout on that busy night?
Yeah. That sounds like a great idea. I mean, how do you think people can stay with that, you know, keep with their mindset, you know, when that, because I think people, you know, people do it with the perfection thing. And I think a lot, that's why I say a lot of people, you know, throw their hands up because they do mess up. They mess up a few times or something, or in their mind, it's a mess up, but it's not, you know, it's not about perfection. It's about progress, right? So.
Definitely. And, you know, the mindset for meal planning is a topic that I teach in our meal plan accountability club because it really is this blueprint that you're testing out each week. Does that recipe work? Does this recipe fit into my life? Does this recipe satisfy my what I want to eat? Do I enjoy it? Do I enjoy cooking it? And what I see people happen with people is if they do sway from their meal plan, instead of looking at it and extracting the lesson, they feel badly. And we don't want to make that mean anything. I mean, I've been meal planning for over 7 years, and sometimes we don't stick to our meal plan because we notice that the mushrooms are going bad and we need to move that recipe up. Or my husband might get a wild idea in the middle of the day that he wants to make tortillas. We're huge taco people and he loves to make taco shells. So he might get you know, a crazy idea to make tacos in the middle of the day. And he might shift everything in the meal plan so that he can make tortillas so that we can eat them fresh. And so it's don't make going off the meal plan mean anything. Take a step back and look at how can I learn from this? If you notice every Wednesday that you're not sticking to your meal plan and you take a step back and you realize it's because you have these long staff meetings that keep you at work until 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And when you get home, you're tired. How can you be prepared for that so that you don't have to cook anything overly complicated, but you do get that cozy, comforting meal that makes you feel better when you get home? Maybe you want that cozy bowl of soup, right? It's winter and we're recording and it's winter in most of the country. Maybe on these Wednesdays when it's dark out when you get home and it just doesn't feel like a great day, you want this cozy bowl of soup or you want that piece of veggie lasagna. And so how can you plan ahead for that so that you're not, well, I'm not going to cook lasagna on a weeknight. So how can you have that ready to go so that when you do get home, you have this cozy, comforting meal that you want to eat?
I love lasagna.
Me
I
too.
used to not like lasagna like my entire life until I went plant-based, and now I love lasagna. Isn't that funny? Lasagna, but like ground beef always, a lot of times people put ground beef, you know, in their lasagna, and now I always grossed out by it. Anyways, that just makes me, I should make lasagna. I should meal plan and make lasagna.
But that's another complex meal that you're likely not
It is
going to
very
do at six,
complex.
starting at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
I know. I know. I know. How can I make lasagna more streamlined and is not as complex?
Definitely. It's always the question, how can I make that meal more streamlined? I mean, lasagna soup's not bad. That's always a fun
Ooh, I've never
option.
made that.
Ooh, I just made one
Oh
with
my
the
God.
gluten-free noodles. I'm actually going to post it on my Instagram soon. So when you guys
Oh.
all listen to this, it'll be back a few several
Yeah.
posts. But
Lasagna soup. I never even thought about that.
kind of like tomato soup, but kind of like lasagna, but because it has that creamy, you add like the creaminess either with like a tofu ricotta or store-bought ricotta
Yeah.
or a cashew cream.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna have to make that. What do you think are like the most common myths revolving around being eating plant-based?
The common myths. I think, well, time, it being time consuming is a huge myth. It's also a really easy excuse to make, right? We all live in these busy driven environments, and me not so much living in an RV, in my own little bubble. I definitely have a lot more flexibility with my time than most. I don't commute to work other than down a couple of steps. But we live in this society that thinks that the busier we are, the better, more successful we are. So we almost perpetuate that these foods need to take a lot of time. And they don't. And you know, I've given a lot of ideas on Instagram, on different places about easy, fast meals, but you can get cooked brown rice, cooked black beans from a can pico de gallo, guacamole, a handful of spinach or a handful of coleslaw mix, maybe some salsa, maybe some frozen corn, like easy things that you can throw together in a meal and make something very simple, very similar to a Chipotle bowl or something along those lines. And you don't have to spend all this time in the kitchen. You can do, you know, easier recipes with more other store-bought ingredients. The prepped cauliflower and broccoli florets can easily be thrown on a sheet pan and roasted, tossed in some spices. You know, it just, I think we want to be able to say it's too time consuming to eat that way, but vegetables don't have a required cooking temperature. Most of them. Right. So you can eat a lot of them raw right out of the package. And so it's an easy myth that we tend to hold on to because we want to be able to say there's a reason why I can't eat plant-based. And time is usually the big one because we are in this perpetual society belief that we need to be busy. And so we couldn't possibly have enough time to make our own beans or make our own tortillas. So we can't
or enough money. I mean, I think, and that's been pushed also by the animal people keep spewing that everywhere that it's so expensive to be whole food plant-based. And it's like, well, yeah, if you're buying all, you know, fancy cheeses, vegan cheeses every day, which I do buy the fancy cheeses every now and then, they're a nice treat, but I don't buy them all the time.
Right. Well, and that was a huge shift for us when we went from eating, you know, primarily vegan, lots of vegan fancy cheese products, different vegan meats, you know, you're getting two burgers for $12. I mean, it does add up. But when you're eating oats and dried beans or canned beans even, or, you know, potatoes or whole grains, pasta, these are not expensive ingredients. But we perceive plant-based as being very expensive because when we're standing in the grocery store and we see the plant milk versus the animal milk, or we see the plant cheeses versus the animal cheeses, it is a sticker shock. But those of us that are eating more of a whole food or more of a plant-based and not eating the vegan cheeses and vegan meats all the time, a black bean burger is a fraction of the price of some of the vegan meats. And so it lines up more with the ground beefs and things that you would buy. And it's without the cholesterol, without the animal suffering, without the other, you know, things that come along with eating an animal burger versus a plant burger.
100%. Yes. Well, it has been a pleasure having you on. So much fun always. This should be our yearly thing, I guess, you know, just have you on.
I'll come back.
Yeah. So let everybody know what you have going on right now with your meal planning program or course or what. Yeah. Tell us all the
definitely
things.
So we have what's called the Meal Plan Accountability Club. And what we do is we meet every week. And at the beginning of the club meetings, I call them, I give you a little perspective change, a little perspective training on meal planning. So some weeks, one topic was meal planning on a budget. How do I meal plan and stay under a certain amount of under a certain amount of money? How do I meal plan to eat this way on a budget? How do I meal plan when I'm going on vacation? Because a lot of times, I live the vacation life, and meal planning in those amazing vegan restaurants that we want to go to on our travels allows us to be very intentional instead of just it's a free for all, because it could be a free for all when you live a vacation style life. And then, so we do a little nuance type perspective meal planning, and those are just a couple of topics, but we've been in the biz for a while. And so we've got a huge resource library of different topics. Then we do hot seat coaching. So if you have a specific question, maybe it's Kathy, can you help me veganize this recipe? Or Kathy, I'm going to my in-laws next weekend. Can you help me kind of make a plan so that I can eat as close to my goal without feeling left out or whatever it is, right? Because some of the people in my program are very new to plant-based eating. Some of the people in the Meal Plan Accountability Club are very seasoned with plant-based eating. So it doesn't matter where you fall in your plant-based eating journey. It's more about, are you creating this structure, this order, this ease, this confidence around the meals that you're eating so that you can whip into the kitchen and have this amazing spread and feel good about it and feel happy that you're eating that and be excited about the meals that you cook. And then the last section of the meal plan club, we plan together. This is where we're throwing those lentil recipes out, where maybe somebody has a really great idea for a chili or for some Super Bowl. We're recording right before the Super Bowl. So maybe they have good snack recipes, or maybe they have good recipes for an upcoming holiday, or, you know, so it allows you to have this community environment to get together and bounce ideas off and brainstorm. I call it, if you've ever been in like a business mastermind, it's like your meal plan mastermind, where you get to have this group of like-minded people who are all striving for this confidence, this ease, and this order around this thing, this meal preparation that we do multiple times a day. So that's ongoing. You can find all the information about that on my website, veginspired.com. And I do have a free gift for everybody. We have a meal plan 101 template. It's the done for you template. So it allows you to take what we talked about in this episode. So go back and listen to it and kind of walk through the framework of, you know, that ideas list that you have, and then plugging things in on your calendar. And so you'll see in the template exactly how to fit that in. And it's a blank template, because it allows you to pick the meals you like that align with your goals. And so you can find that at veginspired.com/meal plan template. I'm sure Rebecca will drop it in the show notes.
Yes,
absolutely. So it's veginspired.com/meal plan template. And it gives you that free meal planning template. But yeah, and you can connect with me over on Instagram at veginspired.
I love it. I'm going to get that template. Now I need to plan more. I do. I mean, I some weeks are better than others, and some are just like all over the place, and it would help. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun. I mean, for me, I can meal plan in 30 minutes now. So it's very fun. It's very exciting. I don't walk into a grocery store without a plan. It really helps us stick to our list. It helps us stick to our grocery budget. It helps us stick to our goals of eating, you know, mostly whole food, plant-based, and cooking at home most of the time. It allows us to grab the ingredients that we need for recipes that we might not be able to get at these local grocery stores. So it just creates this order, this harmony between regular life and then eating this way that's not as normal, I suppose, as everybody else eats.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tad bit challenging, but once you have done it for a little bit of time, it becomes second nature.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. As you said, I will put all of that information in the show notes. So it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Bye, everybody.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed that episode as always. And I hope you feel as inspired as I do, because I need to do some meal planning. I will say that I sometimes get into a rut, and when life gets busy or with this time change, everything is all out of whack because it's getting so dark so late, which I love and I'm not complaining about it. But it does seem that dinner time sneaks up on you because it's still light out, and meal planning would definitely help solve that issue. So, as I said, I will put all the information in the show notes. Be sure to follow Kathy along on her Instagram and share this episode with anybody you think could benefit from it. Someone who is maybe a new vegan and or maybe not. Maybe they have been plant-based for a while, but need a little bit of help on the planning side of things. So until next time, my lovely friend, peace and plants.